So the eagle don't want to deal with all that. So what does the eagle do? Realizing that he's lost his feathers, he's lost his power, he's lost his strength, the eagle will go somewhere and just get in the cave or somewhere and just hide and just wait for the feathers to grow back again. Just wait for the feathers to grow back again. Isaiah said that when you lose your strength, that when you lose your power, that when you lose your feathers, that you need to just go somewhere. I remember when it used to storm. Man, when it was thundering and lightning outside, my mother would tell us to turn off everything, and then you know what she would say? Just go somewhere and what? Get quiet. Just go somewhere and get quiet. And that's what the eagle does. The eagle realizes he can't, there's very little he can do. And the only thing he can do is just go somewhere and get quiet. And God says, when you come to the place where you've come to the end of your resources, where you've exhausted everything that you've had, where you've tried all that you could try, then it's just time to wait on me. And sometimes you just need to go and just wait on me.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue with our series titled How Great is Our God, with the conclusion of the second half of The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the second half, The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens.
All the pull and push that it has on the earth, when we think about the billions of stars, when we think about the vastness of the universe, the psalmist said that we should be in fear and stay in awe. In your notes, I put this so that we can walk away with something. Man should fear God and stand in awe of him. It's amazing to realize that this vast and glorious universe was spoken into existence by the Word of God. The conclusion of wrestling with this mind-boggling thought should lead us to fear God. And what does that mean? I don't want you, somebody, to say, well, what does it mean to fear God? I'm going to tell you what it means to fear God. Live each moment carefully before him. That's what it means to fear him. And we should stand in awe of him. What does it mean to stand in awe? To live in reverence and be careful not to offend him. Stand in fear and stand in awe. Live each moment knowing that the creator of the universe has his eye on us. And as Proverbs 15:3 says, behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The creator of the universe has his eye on me. Every moment that I live, I should live in fear and awe. Somebody gave a perfect illustration of what this means. There was a doctor that was about to perform heart surgery. And he had performed literally thousands of heart surgeries. And somebody said to him, you've done this so much that you could probably do it blindfolded. And he said, I treat this so serious. I take doing heart surgery so serious that every time I do a heart surgery, I act like it's my first time. And I do it carefully, and I do it with attention, and I do it with my concentration. And that's what I believe the psalmist is trying to tell us here, that we live every day, and we could go through this life flippantly. We could go through this life carelessly. We get up every day. We've got up for thousands of days and lived our life, and we could just walk out and just take everything for granted. But we need to take a word from the doctor. The doctor says, I treat each surgery like it's my first one. And we need to treat each time we live in fear and awe, like we're living each day under the auspices, eyes of God, and that he's watching every step and every move that we make. And I guarantee you, if we treated life like that, we would live our lives a lot differently. The reason that people live in so much sin and hellishness is because they're living like there's no God looking at them. They don't think that there's a God looking at them. But I'm here to tell you that there is a God that's looking at you. There's a God that knows your every move. There's a God that knows everything that you do. And we ought to live our lives in such a way that we please this God in everything that we do, knowing that he's watching us every step of the way. What should be man's response to the creation of God in the heavens? Isaiah chapter 40, familiar passage of scripture. Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 25 and 26. Isaiah, God says in verse 25, Isaiah chapter 40, to whom then will you liken me, or who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created all these, who bringeth them out by their number and host by number. He calleth them by name and the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power. He said, look up on high. Look at the heavens. Who brings the stars out and calls them one by one? Who does this? Who's so bad that they can do this? The Holy One, God, is the one that does this. And after going through this challenge of these next couple verses and telling people to meditate on who he is, to meditate on the greatness of his power, to meditate on the fact that he gives them strength, he concludes with verse 31, and he says this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God says that when you look at my power and you look at who I am, you look at the ability that I have to bring the stars out one by one, name them, and put them back in the box. When you consider the fact that I'm able to do this, you would be a very wise person to wait on me. No matter what you're going through, you'd be very wise to wait on me. As a matter of fact, he even gives us an illustration. He says that we ought to wait like the eagle. Now, I'm not an expert on birds. I know a little bit from watching some stuff, but as I've read, they tell me back in biblical times, what would happen is that the eagle periodically would have an old coat of feathers, and at some point they would shed that old coat of feathers. And at that time, oh, somebody hear this illustration. Somebody hear this now. This is going to help somebody. This is going to help somebody. I don't know who, but somebody out there is going to be helped by this. That once the eagle lost all its feathers, it was open. All them wolf tickets that the eagle sold while he had his feathers, swooping down, picking up fish, chasing rabbits and grabbing them by the neck, all them bad deeds that the eagle did when he had his feathers, now he done lost them. Now the rabbit might say, yeah, you think you bad now. Let me hop on over there and take care of you. And the fish might jump out of the ocean and say, let me give you a Looney Tunes slap across your face. So the eagle don't want to deal with all that. So what does the eagle do? Realizing that he's lost his feathers, he's lost his power, he's lost his strength, the eagle will go somewhere and just get in a cave or somewhere and just hide and just wait for the feathers to grow back again. Just wait for the feathers to grow back again. Isaiah said that when you lose your strength, that when you lose your power, that when you lose your feathers, that you need to just go somewhere. I remember when it used to storm. Man, when it was thundering and lightning outside, my mother would tell us to turn off everything, and then you know what she would say? Just go somewhere and what? Get quiet. Just go somewhere and get quiet. And that's what the eagle does. The eagle realizes he can't, there's very little he can do. And the only thing he can do is just go somewhere and get quiet. And God says, when you come to the place where you've come to the end of your resources, where you've exhausted everything that you've had, where you've tried all that you could try, then it's just time to wait on me. And sometimes you just need to go and just wait on God. God is so smart that he put it in nature so that when the eagle does lose its feathers, that they can be replenished if the eagle just goes somewhere and waits for the nature, what God put in nature to take place. And there ought to be a lesson for all of us in that. That if we will wait on the God of the universe, who brings the stars out one by one and calls them by name, he may not come when you call him, but he'll be there right on time. Right on time. Somebody said there was a preacher who was waiting on God to do something. And one day he just began to pace across the floor, back and forth, and he looked like he was just disturbed in his soul. And somebody came to him and said, "What's the trouble?" He said, the trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. You see, we got to learn how to wait on the Lord. Man, if the God I serve can put all these things in place and hold them in place so that they don't crash into each other, wouldn't I be a smart individual just to sit back and wait on his deliverance? If I got a bill that I know I've done everything, I've been responsible, and I don't have the money to pay it, wouldn't it be who me just to sit back and wait on God and not scheme or not connive, but just wait on God? If I'm dealing with a situation where I'm feeling lonely and all alone and I want to get out here and try to show off what I got and impress somebody else, wouldn't it be just better for me to sit back and wait on God? Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And your strength will be renewed if you wait on God. I love the story that I heard about this gentleman who did something to offend the king. And the king sentenced the man to death. And the man went and begged the king for a reprieve. And he told the king, he said, "King, if you give me just 1 year, if you give me just 1 year, I will teach your horse how to fly." The king, realizing that, you know, God didn't know what he was doing, said, "Yeah, okay, we'll give you a year." So he gave him a year. And somebody asked the man, "Well, what did you expect to accomplish in that year?" He said, "Well, maybe within the year, the king might die. Within the year, the horse might die. Well, within the year, I might die." He said, "And there's still a remote chance that a miracle might happen and the horse might fly." And as I thought about that, I said, you know, that was pretty smart. Because what was he doing? Watch this now. What was he doing? He was buying some time. There was a lot of things that could happen if he bought some time. And we as Christians need to learn how to buy time from God and just wait on him. Maybe in that year's time, the problem might just go away. Maybe in that time while you're waiting on God and trusting him, it might go away. Or maybe a miracle might happen and the horse might fly. Maybe God might do something supernatural in your life. I was talking to Veretta Hamlin yesterday, one of our members. She's down in the church. She asked me to recommend a church down in Maryland. And I went to seminary with the guy that's pastoring the church. He's pastoring the church about 3,000 people down in Maryland. And Veretta, you know, I was asking him how he was doing, and she's, you know, was telling me he's doing fine, and, you know, they enjoy being in the church down there. And I remember when my wife and I, it was just me, my wife, and Nicole, and we were in, I was in seminary, and we got a notice that our electricity was going to be turned off. No, I've done everything I could. I've worked. My wife has worked, and yeah, you know, we just didn't have the resources, and so we get this notice that the electricity is going to be turned off, and so I called Angie and Nicole together, and you know, I said, "We need to pray." I said, "We need to pray that, you know, God works this out." And then I was trying to give Nicole a burden about how to pray. And I said, you know, Nicole, I said, if they turn off the electricity, then we're going to eat all cold cereal. I said, if they turn off the electricity, then we're going to have to take extra blankets and put them on so we can stay warm. And I said, and I think this is the one that got her. I said, if they turn off the electricity, then you're not going to be able to watch cartoons. So, so we went into prayer, and we began to pray. And I don't know, you know, my wife can testify maybe how long it was, but to me, it wasn't an hour later that this guy, Beretta Hamlin's pastor, knocks on the door. Now, keep in mind, he's just as bad shape as I am. Knocks on the door, hands me an envelope. I get the envelope, and I look in it, and there's seven $20 bills in there, the exact amount for my electric bill. See, sometimes you wait long, and sometimes you wait short. But wait on God. Wait on Him. He'll work it out. He'll work it out. Sometimes the horse might just fly. Sometimes the horse might fly. Sometimes something will happen that only God can do. And you'll have nothing to do with it when you wait on Him. As I conclude the message today, we see that man should be humbled when he considers the greatness of God. Man should consider his thoughts and words. Man should fear God and stand in awe of Him. Man should wait on God. And I'm saying this mainly to those who might be here today that don't know the Lord, that man needs to realize that he will be without excuse when he stands before God. Look at Romans chapter 1 as I conclude today. Romans chapter 1. Verse 19, Romans chapter 1 and verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shown it unto them. Shown them what? Shown them who He is. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world. From the creation of the world, what did God do in Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth that travels around the sun, and the sun that moves throughout the solar system, and the solar system that moves throughout the galaxy, and the galaxy that moves throughout the universe. God created the universe. God created the heavens. And they are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody can stand before God and say, I didn't know. God said that my power and my deity are revealed in my creation. Somebody said, well, what about, yeah, I get this question all the time. Well, Pastor Glaze, trying to be smart. What's going to happen to the people that have never heard the gospel before? Well, let me read to you what Romans chapter 1 says. It says, for the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power, that God's power and His Godhead, His deity, are revealed in His creation, so that every person that walks across the face of this earth, whether they got a church there or not, every person is without excuse. Nobody can stand before God and say, I didn't know. Now, let me break this thing down even further so that you can understand that if man will accept the light of God in creation, and begin to not worship the creation, but to realize that there is a creator. And they begin to seek that creator, then they will find that creator. God will reveal Himself to them. If somebody gave me tickets or called me and said, look, I got tickets to the opera for you. And I say, well, you know, man, I'm not really into opera music, and you know, I don't think I would enjoy it. Okay, well, that's it. Well, you know, hey, I'll give my ticket to somebody else that can appreciate it. You don't have to go. But if somebody said, hey, look, man, I got tickets to the Steelers and the New England Patriots game. You know, you want to go. Then my next question, well, when is the game? Well, it's on a Monday night. Oh, it's not on Sunday. It's on Monday. Well, hey, I can go. How are we getting there? I'll come by and pick you up. I'll even take you to dinner. What time's the game start? Well, the game starts at 9 o'clock, so yeah, we probably need to, I need to pick you up about 6, all right? Well, where are the seats at? Well, you know, man, I got seats right on the 50-yard line. You have a perfect view. What has just happened? The tickets to the opera, I rejected, and I got no more information. No more information. But when they offered me tickets to the Steelers, and I began to inquire more and more, I began to learn more. And eventually, I ended up at Heinz Field. Wow. And why is that? Because I followed the information that I received. And if all they have is creation, they ought to sit back somewhere and say, man, you know what? This just didn't get here by accident. That somebody put this here. And that, look, it's not crashing into each other and everything is in order, that somebody must be holding this thing in order. Well, who is this somebody? God, I know there's somebody. I know there's somebody that created this. And I want to get to know you. And then God will just begin to open up and open up and open up until you come to the full knowledge of salvation. The psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God. And you can know God not by worshiping the creation, but by seeking the creator who put it there, so that all men are without excuse. Nobody can stand before God and say, I didn't know. I didn't know. Nobody. No, absolutely nobody can stand before him. And you know what? As a matter of fact, if you are in some of the remotest parts of the earth where maybe the gospel hasn't been taken, that you should be closer to God than anybody else. Because I went to Africa, and we went to some place. I tell you what, man, there are some beautiful places in Africa. I mean, man, the sunsets, red skies. I mean, man, it's just unbelievable just to walk out and look on the countryside and just be mystified by God's creation. Everybody is without excuse. So don't let anybody tell you that question. Well, what happens to people that never heard the gospel? Well, God says, and I'm finished, but let me look at what he says. Look what he says in verse 19. He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. You know what that means? That means not only, this is how bad God is. I mean, this is how powerful God is. Not only did God put his witness in the sky, but he put it in the heart of man to respond. To respond to the witness. He put it in man's heart to respond so that all are without excuse. How great is our God as we look at the heavens.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of How Great is Our Joy. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens. or program number 090726. That's 877-831-5060 and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens, or program number 090726. Today's teaching concludes our four-part series titled, How Great is Our God? The entire series is made available by request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.